The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Psalm 111, verse 1. Psalm 111, verse 1, I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord, for they are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. What leapt off the page at me was verse 1. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. I will extol, not extort. Okay, a lot of people try to extort the Lord. If you don't know what it means, go look it up. It'll mean more to you when you find out for yourself. Extol the Lord means to praise loud. You cannot extol the Lord quietly. You can worship the Lord quietly. You can. I mean, you can worship the Lord without even speaking words, without making a single sound. Sometimes the greatest act of worship is your silence. And if you can't speak the language of faith, you certainly need to learn the language of silence. Because in this court of the spiritual law, every word you say can and will be used for you by God or against you by the enemy. And sometimes my silence in the face of adversity shows my faith and trust in God. David wrote this psalm, I'll praise the Lord, I'm going to extol him. And that means I'm going to shout loud. And when we're together, everybody's going to hear it. And he's going to praise and he's going to talk about how great are the works of the Lord. Look at that verse again. Verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. They are to be pondered by all who delight in them. Pondered, what does that mean? Thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm sitting there just remembering it, replaying in my mind the works of the Lord, the goodness of God. What has he done in your life? There are people in here today that if God did not spare them from a drug overdose, they wouldn't be breathing right now. There are people in this room that God took a hold of you in the midst of something that was about to take you out of this earth, and he prevented it from happening and said, I got plans for you right now. You say, well, I never had a near-death experience, and I've never been drug overdosed or any of that kind of stuff. My life's been kind of boring. Well, that's an awesome testimony, Mr. or Mrs. Boring. That's a wonderful testimony. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. But the fact of the matter is, you had to be saved just like everybody else. So we can all rehearse the goodness of God. And that's what he's telling us to do. The Lord gave me four things personally to focus on, and I believe I'm supposed to share these with you. I don't know how many times I will. Maybe 52 times this year. I don't know. God said this, number one thing, don't let it go. Celebrate every victory. Celebrate every victory. Every little bitty victory. Hallelujah. John, sitting back here in the back, was telling me about a testimony in his life that happened a while back, and he had a mishap, and he fell, and they were trying to move, and he tripped and hit his head on a moving trailer. Hit him right by the eyeball. And Tim, boy, it messed him up. You know what he said in the midst of telling me that testimony? He said this. He said, but praise God, my glasses weren't broke. He said, my glasses weren't broke. See, he stopped in the midst of telling me about this situation to focus on the fact that his glasses weren't broke. What are you focused on? God is good. My glasses didn't get broke. Come on. You can turn any negative into a positive if you will look at he who promises to be working together for your good in all things. Romans 8:28 says, amen. So we want to be bragging on God, rehearsing in our mind all the good things he's done. Listen to me, church. If you don't take up the practice of pondering the works of God and keeping them in your forefront of your mind and think about what God has done, the enemy is going to do everything he can with the help of the lying prophet, that's known as the media, to provoke fear in you and cause you to feel like, where's God now? Where's God now? He is in everything that we acknowledge Him in. Are you acknowledging Him in your money? Then He's there. Are you acknowledging Him in your health? Then He's there. Are you acknowledging Him in your nation? Then He's there. Listen, if God can work His will while the Romans are ruling Palestine, He can sure get past the administration in Washington. Come on, am I telling you the truth? What have you got to be worried about? Answer, nothing. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Not when you're saved. When you're a child of God, a bride of Christ, you got nothing to worry about. Amen. And Jesus in Matthew 6 said, do not worry, saying, that's the problem with worry. Internal worry becomes external speaking, and what you believe and speak, you're going to produce it. Amen. Let's look, Psalm 112, next Psalm, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed means empowered to prosper. It means empowered to succeed. It's not dependent upon circumstances. There is a church in Nigeria, Africa, with a building that will hold, if I remember correctly, 150,000 people inside the building for the first of five services. That pastor took hold of the word of faith from God's word, got a word from Jesus, and believed God that God wanted him to build a church, and he wanted him to build it debt-free. And they did. You can look it up. Check it out. God can build a church in the middle of Africa and build it debt-free. Doesn't need American money to do it. Come on. America is not the hope of the world. America is a city set on a hill to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. If we let the light of Jesus go out in America, America is worthless. And anything that's worthless in God's sight will not remain. That's all I'm saying. I love America. I believe America is a gift from God to us, for certainly as Americans, but to the world. But we're not the answer. And we're not the world's defender or protector or provider. Jesus is. Amen. Blessed is the man who reveres the Lord. Who reveres, not be afraid of. Who finds great delight in His commands. Do you find delight in the commands of God? His children, this man is talking about, this blessed guy, His children will be mighty in the land. Anybody believe in God for your family? There's your verse. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. What kind of wealth and riches? Every kind, especially the spiritual kind. Now, I believe, first and foremost, that means rich in your spiritual life with Him, because that's the only thing that really matters when it comes down, but why not be blessed? Amen. Now, watch this. Verse 4. This is talking about the person who reveres the Lord and finds the light in His commandments. Watch this. Verse 4. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright. For the gracious, compassionate, righteous man. Hold your place in Psalms and go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 10:21. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness that can be what? Felt. In other words, you can literally sense this presence of darkness. This is not a just somebody forgot to turn the light on darkness. This is a spiritual darkness. And it's so thick, the spiritual darkness is so thick that natural light wouldn't even shine. Verse 22, so Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. Everybody say the whole nation. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. You say, well, Pastor, why wouldn't they just light a lamp like they do every other night? It wouldn't work. Light was shut off. It's like God flipped the switch and said, the lights are off. Now what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. If the lights go off, you better know Him who is light. I'm not worried about the lights going off. They went off before. Come on. It was so spiritually dark, no one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days, and yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. All God's covenant people had light in the midst of the darkness. And it was a darkness that was so dark that if you lit a match, it wouldn't even produce light. The darkness just sucked the light up like a black hole. Did God's people live in the darkness? No, they were surrounded by it. But where God's people were, it was what? Light. Everybody say it didn't get dark in Goshen. Amen. Now back up one chapter to chapter 9, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, verse 22, Exodus 9, 22. We're going to look through 26. Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on men and on animals and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt, the whole nation, in other words. And when Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed down to the ground. And so the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, and hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. And it was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the field, both men, animals, and it beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Come on. Give me a shout of praise. Listen, if it hails all over, what's going to happen where you are? Nothing. If lights go out and there's a darkness that sucks up all light, are you going to stumble around in the darkness? No, I'm not. Why not? Because God is God. He's my God, and Him I trust. Amen? He's God. Amen. Let's look at another one. Ooh, I like these. These stir my faith up. Back up to 9:1, Exodus 9:1. The Lord said to Moses. Notice these all start with the Lord said this. Where's faith come from? Come on. The Lord said this. Say to the Pharaoh, go to Pharaoh, say to him, this is what the Lord God of the Hebrews says, let my people go, that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, your horses, your donkeys, your camels, your cattle, your sheep, your goats. But the Lord, listen to this, church, get a hold of this, verse 4, underline it, highlight it in your Bible if you got it. The Lord will do something. What's he going to do? He's going to make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt. Everybody say covenant matters. It does. The Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt so that no animal belonging to Israelites will die. And the Lord set a time saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this. And the next day the Lord did it. Come on. The next day the Lord did it and all the livestock of the Egyptians died. That's called a steak shortage. Came suddenly and quickly. But what about God's people? Did they still get to eat meat? Let's find out. Not one animal belonging to God's people, the Israelites, died. Church, listen to me. Can God bring judgment on sin? That's what God judges. He don't judge people. He judges sin. Can God bring judgment of sin even upon our great nation without harming his own people? Can he do it? The book says he already did. The word of God, the written record that cannot be disputed. That's what this is. The infallible word of God.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
He did it. He did it for a reason. What was the reason? See, well, he was provoking Pharaoh to let the people go. Okay. That being said, then why does it say every single time Pharaoh's heart became hardened again? If that was the end goal, that Pharaoh would come around and get on the side of God's people, then God must have failed, because Pharaoh never came around to get truly on the side of God's people. When that last plague happened, the plague of the death of the firstborn, where the Israelites were commanded to do something that didn't make much sense and never been done before, but to take a male lamb without fault or blemish and kill it, eat it, consume every bit of it. It was the Passover lamb. And take the blood of that Passover lamb and put it upon your doorpost on both sides and over the top. And when the angel of death, the destroying angel, comes, he will pass you over because he sees the blood. The Bible tells us very clearly in the New Testament, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And it's the blood of Jesus covering not the doorpost of my physical home, but the entrance in and out of my spiritual home. Did you catch that? If the blood of Jesus does not cover the entrance and exit of your spiritual home, which is this, where you live right now, garbage is going to come into your home. You need a blood covering, because that garbage is going to attract the judgment fire. God says, it's time to burn the trash. Peter said in the New Testament, if judgment begins at the house of God, what about people out there? Well, judgment does begin at the house of God, and we are the house of God. But don't worry about God condemning you, because there's no condemnation in Christ. But God wants to judge the fruits of our tree, and he wants to prune us, church. Go read John 15. Jesus said, if you're clean, he's going to prune you so you can bear more fruit. This is a time. Come clean, get clean, stay clean. Have the blood over the doorpost of your house. When that death angel, that destroyer came, all he did was look for the blood. And anybody without that covenant protection, their home was stricken, including Pharaoh's. And Pharaoh said, all right, that's enough. Take your stuff, take our stuff for that matter. We don't care. How many know the Israelites plundered the Egyptians and came out loaded with silver and gold? Amen. God is the God of restoration and jubilee, and he'll give you that. They left out of there blessed. Pharaoh's, get, go. But what happened shortly thereafter? His heart turned back again, and here he come to pursue him and kill him. And God had to use what seemed like an insurmountable thing and open the Red Sea in order to let his people go across on dry land. Same God that we serve. Come on, if it looks like you're going to be overtaken, just lift up your voice and praise God that he is the one who makes a highway through the seas. He turns graves into gardens and bones into armies, Ezekiel 37. What have I got to be worried about? Oh, but I heard that there might be an attack on our power grid. I heard that too. And then I looked over here and I said, you know what? God was able to give them light even in supernatural darkness. He said, well, I heard it's going to be food shortage. God was able to protect their beef. That little old lady said, where's the beef? I said, up there with God's people. Amen. Am I inspiring you to have some faith and confidence in God? Is he the one who can protect you in the midst of it all? And does he care enough about you to do it? See, that's where your faith's really got to lie. Your faith's got to be founded and grounded on this fact. It's not just that God can or that God already has. But my faith is grounded on this fact that he loved me so much that he always will. He'll not tell me no for something that I need that he promised. He'll not leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Look back over to Psalm 91, if you would. It is one of my absolute favorite psalms. There's a lot of them, but it is one of my favorites because it's so loaded up with benefits and blessings and promise. Amen. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will abide or rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwells. Everybody say dwells. That means where you live at, don't it? You don't visit your dwelling place. You dwell in your dwelling place. You visit somewhere else. There are a lot of people that visit God. Don't visit God. God sent a love letter to us. He said, I want full custody of all my children. Amen. Whoever lives in the shelter of the Most High will abide or rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust. What are you going to do when someone gives you an evil report? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to say this. God is my refuge, my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust. You know what He'll do in response to that activation of your speaking? You know what He'll do? Watch. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. That's the devil's tricks and traps. From deadly pestilence. Do you know that means disease? Viruses. Did you know that? I've already been immunized by the blood. He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. Who will find refuge? Everybody? No, not everybody. Just those who live in the presence of God and activate their covenant faith by saying, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, you've got to activate it. The power's on, but you've got to flip the switch. But it doesn't do you any good to try to flip the switch if you don't qualify in the first place. The qualifier to every promise in Psalms 91, which He told about giving angels charge over you, nothing would happen. Though 1,000 might fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Come on. What does the Word of God promise you who dwell in the secret place? It won't come near you. What do you got to be afraid of? Nothing. What do you have to worry about? Nothing. Why? Because I have a covenant-keeping God, and He can make it light in the darkness, and He can bring protection for not only me, but my possessions even. He can make a distinction between those who know Him in covenant and those who don't, and He will, and He is. Right now, it's hard to tell the difference. You see the wicked and the evil looking like, appearing like, they're being blessed. But there's coming a day. You're going to see the distinction between people who abide in the shadow of the Almighty and say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, and people who don't. Because the people who don't, the 1,000 that fell at my side, they're going to be one of them. The 10,000 that fell at my right hand, they're going to be one of them. You say, Pastor, that sounds awfully self-centered and ugly. It's not self-centered and ugly, but I'm going to tell you something. Noah, Lord, give us ears to hear. Noah had to learn how to listen to people drown. It's not Noah's fault. If you're sounding a trumpet, if you're living in a way that says, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. If you can't do that, then change it. If you're living in a way you say, well, I don't want people living like I do. Change, repent before it's too late. I've got things I don't know if I'm good. God can help you. He will help you. But He won't do it for you. He won't do it without you. He's not going to slap something out of your hand. If He did, it would scare you half to death. And then you know what you would do? You know what you would do? You know what this guy right here would do if God slapped something out of my hand? I'd reach down and pick it up again. What good would it do? He has to show me what it really is so that I'll hate it. I need to hate my sin. I need to hate everything that hinders my relationship with Him. Hate it with a passion. Not tolerate it, not excuse it, but hate it and despise it and bring it before Him and say, please, God, take this ugly thing away from me. Change my desires. Change my heart. Forgive me, God. Every promise of this 91st Psalm, you qualify for it by abiding, living in the presence of God. If that does not describe your life, just change it. I used to live on Iroquois Street. Now I live on Potomac. Oh my gosh, Pastor, how did you make the transformation? I moved. I decided one day to pack up my stuff and leave some stuff behind and move to a better place. One of these days, I'm moving to a really better place. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to qualify for the promises by remaining, abiding. To remain in the shadow of the Most High, you got to stay close. You got to stay close. You can't be wandering off out yonder. Stay close. He'll help you. Amen. So you qualify by abiding, and then you activate the promise by saying, hallelujah. He said, celebrate every victory, didn't he? So that's rehearsing the things God has been doing for you. Amen. He's done for you. And listen, sometimes it's not your victory that helps you. It's someone else's. So celebrate theirs too. See, I need a victory in this area. Find somebody who had a victory in that area. If you're battling cancer, you find the testimony of someone who's beat cancer down with the blood of Jesus, and just saturate your heart with those healing testimonies and read the Word. Amen. We've got to respond with faith, not fear. Fear is forgetting every amazing revelation. That's what the Lord gave me to show you. Fear, F-E-A-R, forgetting every amazing revelation. Fear only happens, listen to this, fear only happens when you temporarily or permanently, temporarily most time, forget who God is. The television says they got this variant, they got this, they got that, this economy, that, blah, 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 blah. And temporarily, you forget that the same God who produced light in Goshen and protected their cattle and raised the dead and healed the sick, you forget about all that. Don't. Because if you forget about God's revelation, you'll start being in fear. Amen. Don't do it. Say, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray you bless your people today. I speak impartation of faith. I'm asking you to open our ears. And I ask God that you speak clearly and distinctly to us individually, showing us what to do and what not to do. Don't let us ever, Father, I pray, be motivated by fear or by simply a natural response. God, if we need a medicine, then speak to us about that medicine. If we don't need it, speak to us about that. If we need this loan or that loan to accomplish your purpose, so be it, God. But speak to us about it, for we refuse to take matters into our own hands. Pray, even as you taught us, Jesus, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives. If you were listening to me today and you say, well, I don't know what would happen to me if all this stuff starts happening, I don't know. I mean, I believe in Jesus. I'm glad you do. That's a great start. Not enough. Because I don't just need to believe that Jesus exists. I need to know him intimately. In order to abide under the shadow of the Most High God, I have got to literally become a child of the living God. And I do that one way and one way only. Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you feel like you're separated from God, if you walk more in fear than you do in faith, today is your day to turn away from that and to move out of that old house of fear you've been living in and move into a brand new residence called the shadow of the Most High God. If you need to change your location, I want you to pray with me, and we're going to invite Jesus to change our lives. Amen. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you now, and I acknowledge you as my Lord, the only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. I give my life completely to you. Forgive me, Jesus, because I've tried to do it without you. I failed. And I recognize how much I need you. So I invite you, live in me and move me to live in you, and teach me how to live by faith in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the one prayer that'll make all the difference in the world.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.